The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Yeah. Welcome to the BS Report, part two of the special 90210 podcast on September 2nd, 2010. 90210. In studio, Matthew Berry, who joined us for part one. He's on the Subway Fresh Tech Hotline. We're going to go to the main categories of the awards.
All right.
Pretty excited for these.
Oh, yeah. A lot of competition.
Favorite multi-episode guest character. I'm gonna say that Ray Pruitt is ineligible because they ended up putting him in the credits for the beginning of season six. So he's going to be ineligible. Almost like when Reggie Bush, when they found out that he was being paid and they took away the USC titles. Here are the nominees. Roy Randolph.
Yeah. See, I think Roy Randolph, by the way, the famous Broadway director who comes to direct a play at Brenda's school.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden decides that she should get an audition. She should go to London for the summer to study.
And kind of like seemed like he was going to start sleeping with everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was teased a little.
I think there's a separate category that probably should have been in part one, which was best fake celebrity. Meaning like, okay, so Roy Randolph was supposed to be famous. Like Deshaun Hardell was supposed to be this amazing basketball
player. Oh, that would have been a good category. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So like those two guys.
Serge Menken.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about Serge.
Record company exec for Serge Menken.
Right.
Roy Randolph, Brandon Surly boss at the beach club.
Uh-huh.
Bruno, the chauffeur.
Right.
Chauffeur.
Who tried to warn Dylan that a hit had been put out on him and his bride.
Tony. I really like Bruno.
All right.
He said to Anthony Marchand, our little girl's getting married. And the guy's like, yeah. And he kind of just caught wind that something was up. Jonesy, the guy, the former FBI guy who helped Dylan get his money back. Dylan's drug dealer.
Right.
The guy who had the goatee, and then he's like, he's in the dream sequences and stuff. And then finally, Walter Chen, the campus broadcaster.
Interesting. What about the, I'm embarrassed. I think his name was John.
Sears?
No, not John Sears, who's also like, has to be, you know, in the nomination.
I'm going to add John Sears. I forgot about it.
Right. John Sears, who of course, ruined Kelly's reputation in high school, dated her. Then got very angry and then set up Steve and had the big showdown at the keg house.
Oh, I like that one.
I think that's a category too, by the way. Best keg house plot. Just best overall keg house plot. Or best, most iconic image from 90210. I think that's a separate thing. And I will say that placing the black balls in the two bowls, trying to decide whether Steve or John Sears stays in the keg house.
Yeah.
To me, that's one of the most iconic images of that show.
Another good kick-ass plot was that the president turned out to be gay and Steve and Brandon saw him at the gay bar.
Yes, yes, yes,
and
yes.
They, isn't that
and a... And he outed him? Right.
Yeah.
I think that's another lesson. Like, we may have to make a three-parter, Bill. I think that's another category, too. Most important lesson we learned. Tolerance of other races, tolerances of sexual identity, you know, don't cheat.
Don't do drugs. So we're getting to that category. Don't worry.
Okay. All right.
The winner, I'm going to give, I'm going to overrule whatever your pick was. And give
it to okay.
Bruno, the chauffeur. I just loved him.
You do.
I really liked him. I thought, I didn't want him to leave. I was actually kind of hoping he'd move into Dylan's house after Dylan left. Or that he would like take over Peach Pit After Dark for 10 episodes.
Hey,
like,
well, why not? Everyone else did.
The old man got rid of him. Most inspired story arc.
Okay.
See, now we're getting into the big categories. Here are the nominees. Professor Finley's cult.
Right, yes, that Kelly goes to, sure.
Kelly becomes a co-core.
Yeah.
Dylan's drinking again. The Mexico season. Brenda's parents hate Dylan.
Okay.
Dylan
I disagree with these because I don't think these are most inspired plots.
Most entertaining?
Yeah.
How about most entertaining story arc? Dylan falls for Kelly while Brenda is in France.
Yes.
Brandon falls for Kelly. Dylan falls for a mobster's daughter. And then Steve celebrates his 21st birthday party, even though he's 38 in real life. Those are the nominees.
I would nominate... Oh, so this is for best story arc.
Entertaining story arc.
I think anything involving the Dylan, Brandon, Kelly triangle is there. You remember they're in the pool and they're splashing. I mean, it's like all of it. And of course, it culminates with I Choose Me.
Well, I think it's a...
That's like one of the... I mean, you can do like category of like larger themes, right? So you could do that, like that triangle. You could do, Donna's virginity as a story arc, right? Valerie's...
I wasn't that entertained by Donna's virginity.
Yeah, that's fair. Here's the thing. Donna annoyed me.
I feel like there was a final two here. The Dylan's drinking again. I just feel like that was the best 8-episode sequence of the show. When he was just going off the cliff, basically. But then, when he fell for Kelly while Brennan was in France, that was really the creation of the love triangle.
Yeah.
It never really been done on TV, and now it's just ripped off. Every show's got to do the love triangle. But that was the first time, and it was like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And I might have to give it to that.
I think that's it. I would say, by the way, that I think there's... some other plots that could be kind of construed in there. I mean, most inspired. Like, if you're saying most inspired,
well, I changed anything it to most entertaining.
Okay, most entertaining because that's most inspired. Anything dealing with David's music is just outrageous.
Well, you know what I liked about the love triangle and Kelly stealing Dylan was it tapped into the fact that women just hate each other and that no woman trusts their man around another woman because when push comes to shove, a woman will steal another woman's. Guy, no matter how close they are. And that's why women don't trust each other. And that's why they bash each other when they're at a dinner with five women and one leaves the room for 5 minutes and then they just crush her. It tapped into that.
No question about it. And they were going back and forth and the two of them were best friends and then they hated each other and Jim Walsh got involved and like wanted him with Brenda and then he didn't want him with Brenda and he kept using his control over Dylan's trust fund to keep him out. I'm with you there. Surprising. I think a big upset here. That none of these story arcs that were nominees involved Valerie, who I have to tell you, by far my favorite character that wasn't in the original cast.
I'm with you. I couldn't find a single arc that you could point to and say, there it was, start to finish, Valerie crushed it. It was a constant crushing from her.
Yeah, I mean...
She was like Pujols. You can't point to a Pujols season.
Right.
You can't point to a Valerie story. Most dated plot. Very excited about this category.
Okay. Yeah.
The nominees. People being excited to go to a Rolling Stones concert.
Teenagers being excited to go to a Rolling Stone concert.
Anyone being excited. Brandon breaking a steroid story for his high school newspaper.
Right.
Yep. Edgy at the time. Yes. Steve and Claire meeting on the internet. Seems so over the top, but that what? People can meet this way? Andrea offers her virginity to Brandon, who turns it down.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
In 2010, nobody is turning down sex under any circumstances.
Completely.
In 1990, you turned down sex.
Right.
Brenda finally has sex with Dylan, then thinks she's pregnant. And we learn a valuable lesson that sex is bad if you're not married.
Yes.
Brandon's girlfriend spikes his drink with ecstasy, which, what did they call it?
Euphoria.
Euphoria, yeah. With euphoria, they had to like they were afraid to even say ecstasy because they didn't want the kids to try it, so they changed the name of it. David mobilizes the gang to meet Color Me Bad.
Right.
Kelly ODs on diet pills, which it just seems stupid now. And then finally, my personal favorite, Brenda mopes after Dylan dumps her by repeatedly listening to the same REM song.
I would also throw in there.
Yeah.
Valerie gets a tattoo.
Oh, good one.
As a fairly dated plot.
Great one.
I feel like there was a cell phone episode. I feel like, and I can't put my place on it, but I feel like there was one where, whether Steve or, you know, they all have money. Like, there's a lot of plot. There were a couple different plots where, especially in France, there's two different versions of that. One is, I feel like there's one episode where one of them got a cell phone. And it was like a big deal. And I can't put my finger on it. But beyond that, any story that involved not being able to get in touch with anyone, like there's a couple, like especially in France, like the France episodes where Brenda and Dylan can't, you know, are missing each other. And when Ray Pruitt's on the road and Donna keeps missing him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Trying to call and like, you know.
All those 90s shows had that problem, though.
Yeah, and I mean, right, exactly. And in fact, and when they're trying to find Colin, Kelly finds him by getting his beeper number.
Yeah. Let's add that to Colin's beeper.
Colin's beeper number from the, yeah.
So. Well, unfortunately, we can only have one winner. And in this case, the winner is pretty clear. It's when David mobilizes the gang to meet Color Me Bad. That that episode, when you watch it, that episode feels like it came out in the 1800s.
See,
David's got the weird, he's got the fade haircut that the NBA players used to have in the 1990s, in the early 1990s. Remember that? The fade with the shaved in the sides.
Right. I disagree that that's the most dated plot.
What do you think?
Because I'll tell you why. Because Color Me Bad is dated and they're already the winner there. But the thing is the plot of a high school kid trying to get him and his friends to sneak in to a hotel to meet a popular boy band.
Oh, would still I like work where you're today. Going here. Okay.
Would still work today. I mean, if you replace that with the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
You know, if the whatever, you know, if you'd seen the OC do it with NSYNC, you wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, you know, so I don't think it's that. I know it's a great plot.
I know where you're going here. You're going to say Valerie gets
absolutely.
A tattoo.
Absolutely.
I think you might be right.
That's not even a plot anymore. I mean, they cast, if you don't have a tattoo, they make you put one on.
All right. You swayed me.
Right.
Worst actor who made the opening credits. Pivotal category. This is another one where the Oscars, like, oh, they brought out a big gun here. The nominees.
Worst. Yeah. Okay.
Ian Ziering, who played Steve Sanders. Tori Spelling, who played Donna Martin.
Yeah.
Vincent Young, who played Noah Drake.
He was terrible.
Your pal, Mark Damon Espinosa.
Ah, poor
listen,
Jesse.
Listen, he's got him. Jamie Walters, a.k.a. Ray Pruitt.
Right.
And then finally, Joe E. Tata. Hmm. Because he needed the E, because there were so many other Joe Tatas right. that they needed the Joe E. Tata.
Well, let's go through this. This is a big category, so I think we go through this one by one. Not Joe E. Tata.
I'm absolutely taking him off.
He had
some good moments. Okay.
Right. He had some great moments.
We'll take off Damon Espinosa because you're friends with him.
Thank you.
I enjoyed Jamie Walters, so I think he goes.
Right. And by the way, Jamie Walters had one of my top five favorite moments in the show, which is when he pushes Donna down the stairs.
And he had some good moments.
Yeah. I'm going to say Tori Spelling. I think it's Donna Martin. I think without the last name Spelling, she doesn't get on the show. I've never bought the whole... Oh, she tried out under a fake name.
Yeah,
story. I've never bought that. So to me, and she's terrible too. By the way, because it's like, not to get really cruel, but I'm about to. She looks wise. She doesn't fit in. You know what I mean? Like if you were casting that show, right? I mean the quote the ugly duckling is Andrea, yeah. And then the kind of the Midwest plain girl is Brenda. But then they wanted, for those two roles, they wanted two, you know, hot blonde.
It's a great point. Well, but on the other hand, here's the thing. Like, if they had had, like, a Blake, whoever the 1990 Blake Lively was.
Right.
Yeah, much hotter. But if you don't have Tori Spelling on this show, she was one of the key ingredients because women hated her so much.
Women would just get together.
Well, but women would get together, watch this show. They'd see her cleavage, her weird hamburger print cleavage that she had. And her plastic surgery and her hair. And women would just go crazy. I mean, they'd just go insane. You couldn't... It's the equivalent of when they watch The Bachelor now and they go crazy and they watch that. But Tori Spelling, there was no Bachelor back then. They directed all their venom toward her. So right. I think she was pivotal. I got to give this category to Vincent Young, who played Noah, because Noah was like... First of all, he was a Dylan ripoff.
Totally.
He couldn't act, and he never acted again. Have you seen Vincent Young in 10 years?
No, but Tori Spelling, I mean, I guess you could argue that Tori Spelling did all those Lifetime movies, which I think only further underscores my point that she can't act, because that's the whole point of those movies.
Hey, be careful. Some of those are pretty good.
Sex with My Ex?
Yeah, I liked a couple of those. Yeah. Vincent Young, I'm giving that to. Best random episode. You'll probably have a couple additions.
All right.
The Slumber Party in season one, where Kelly admits she was once date raped.
Right. Yeah.
Surprisingly dramatic.
I'm telling you this whole. Yeah.
Donna gets drunk. at the senior prom.
That could also be a category on Two Sips of Champagne, basically. I think that's also most dated plot.
There's a huge
uproar over Donna getting drunk at prom. Being caught with alcohol at prom.
Dylan recovers his money in Mexico, which is just an awesome episode. And it ends with the sword fight, and the guy has the sword. He's like, come on, McKay! And then he comes at him with the sword, and it's just fantastic.
Well, and
Tyler's in a bikini half the time.
God bless that. And by the way, the other great part about it is like, you know, just having worked in TV and you've worked in TV, like you can watch this back or like look at it and go, oh, that's so clearly. So like the original plot was his fake family and the environmental guy, Kevin, steal Dylan's money and go to Brazil.
Yeah.
But when he gets Jonesy and decides to get his money back, suddenly they've relocated to Mexico. And the reason is because it's a lot cheaper to shoot in Mexico. Yeah, you know I mean, so
right.
It's just like, it's so clear that they, when they originally said, oh, they're going to Mexico, they're like, oh, Dylan's never seen his money again. And they're like, oh, God, we're running out of stuff. What if Dylan gets his money back?
Right. It was a great one.
We're not shooting in Brazil. Okay.
Valerie, next episode, Valerie gets paid post-Mexico by sleeping with Dylan and Jonesy within 24 hours. It was definitely unsanitary, whatever went down. David cheats on Donna in the limo with Carrie Wuer, and she walks in on it. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I love that episode.
that was a good one.
And then, once again, a recurring nominee, David tries to get the gang to meet Color Me Bad.
Wait, so what are we calling this what? Our most random, most what?
Best random episode that didn't tie into a story arc. Just like randomly a great episode.
Randomly a great episode.
I thought about throwing in the one with the anti-Semitism episode.
Yeah.
When there was the speaker, the African-American speaker,
who made the
anti-Semitic remarks.
Yes.
Andrea started protesting, and then David Silver wasn't sure, and she gave him the shame on you routine, and that was just a solid episode, and I learned some lessons about anti-Semitism.
That's wrong. That's good. I used to be an anti-Semite too, even though I'm Jewish. But thanks. But now I realize there's different viewpoints. Hey, I'll give you another one that's kind of inspired by that one. Similar is when they're in high school and West Beverly is supposed to play the football team from Shaw.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get to that one.
Okay.
Yeah,
and,
West Beverly. I forget the name of the other school.
It's Shaw.
Shaw.
Shaw High School, and they have they forfeit, but West Beverly says we don't want the forfeit, and they invite all the kids, all the black kids over to West Beverly.
Yeah.
And Brandon,
for a dance.
Yeah, for the big dance, and which, by the way, I mean, just the ridiculousness of this. Like, I can't imagine if in L.A. today that you'd go anywhere near, like, who would drive for a high school dance? Who goes to high school dances regardless? But
this was another attempt by Fox to say, look, we need more black people on the show. Well,
and
what
remember,
if we have the dance?
And there was also kind of the, you know, the heroic journalism, because Brandon and the editor of the Shaw newspaper run their editorials in each other's papers, that whole thing.
Yeah. All right. So the winner of this.
I've got one other one.
Okay.
I mean, it's a little bit of an arc, but I was mostly confined to one episode.
Yeah.
Valerie somehow becomes the manager of a Hollywood star.
Come on, though. That was terrible.
I loved that. I loved it.
What was that
I
guy? Was that, that guy was a real
it.
Guy, right?
No.
Oh,
no
I thought
no.
he became a real actor.
No, he's one of. He should be on our Deshaun Hardell, Roy Randolph fake celebrity list. Whoever the name of that guy was, like, and like an episode after he was a huge star and had this huge movie open, he moves to Idaho or something like that because he wants to get away from it all. And Valerie gets bribed by the, you know.
Well, unless you have any objections, the winner of this one is going to be Dylan Recovers His Money in Mexico. Just a sensational hour and ridiculous. And we got to see Tiffany Amber Thiessen in a bikini for half the time.
I have no objection to anything involving Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Okay. Best sensationalistic one-shot episode. Here are the nominees.
Okay.
Andrea gets hit by a hit-and-run driver.
Right, and breaks her legs.
Steve's rave house catches on fire.
Yes.
Brendan and Dylan go to Mexico and don't tell Dad. No. David's buddy shoots himself. Donna gets thrown down the stairs by Ray Pruitt. The Dylan intervention. And then finally, Donna gives it up. She sleeps with David.
Wow. Jam-packed.
Great category.
Great, great category.
I told you it was going to heat up in part two.
Yeah. You know, the episode I thought of when you were talking about it is, by the way, is and this probably should have been the last category, the most random one, was when Dylan and Brandon go on the smokeout with the Indians on the
Indian reservation. That almost made worst episode. Yeah. It was an honorable mention.
Wow. Listen, Donna giving it up to David is iconic. There's no question about it. But for me, I think it's Ray Pruitt. I think it's Ray Pruitt shoving Donna down the stairs. Because I'll tell you why. Because that was the culmination of a whole arc, and Ray was in it. And I feel it's also emblematic of a bunch of different things, because they tried to spin Ray off into the Heights, right? Or Jamie Walters.
Well, they had it. So that was the two-part season ender of the sophomore college season that also had it was right after the I Choose Me episode.
Right.
So Brandon was drinking. It was the drinking Brandon, which is always fun. I don't know. Steve's Rave House catching on fire is a pretty good
Kelly.
Episode. And just that whole, and it was on like 3 weeks ago, and I had it on, and my daughter was kind of walking around, and she started watching it. She like got legitimately frightened at the end.
Yeah, I'm
with
you.
I felt bad.
But if we're saying the category is most sensationalistic, I feel like, I don't know why, but to me, I feel like when I remember watching and Ray Pruitt shoves Donna down the stairs, it was just kind of like, whoa.
It was an accident, and he only did it because he loved her too much.
No, stop it. There was actual abuse of Donna there.
All right, I'm with you. All right, you
female violence on TV, I thought, was the most shocking there. I'm getting you know into that if you're saying most sensationalistic.
When I was doing my research for this podcast, I wanted to find out what hotel that was at. And it's some hotel in Palm Springs that used to be a Marriott. Now it's called something else. And some blogger on the web actually went to the hotel to try to find the exact staircase.
Stop.
And I swear to God, and the hotel, the way it's set up, all the staircases, all the buildings look like that. So there was no answer. So she wrote about it. And then the building manager of the hotel was like, it was building 5. That was the most fun we've had, whatever. So if you ever want to go to whatever that hotel is, it's building 5.
There you go. Building 5, everyone.
Best season. Season 5, season 6, season 4, season 3, or season 2?
5.
I agree. We don't even need to really go over it. Just so much going on. Dylan's drinking again. Right. Valerie Malone shows up.
You still have Valerie shows up, but you still have
I Choose Me, Kelly in the Fire, the cult.
Right.
All that stuff.
It's all great.
All right. You're really going to enjoy this next category.
Okay.
Best Valerie Malone moment. Here are the nominees.
Okay.
Sleeping with her stepdad.
Yeah. I don't know how you top that, but keep going.
Arrested for prostitution. Sleeping with Jonesy, Dylan, and Ray Pruitt within a week.
Right.
Suing Noah for date rape, and then the case being resolved in 3 weeks in the LA legal system.
Right.
Trial and everything. Sleeping with Johnny, the HIV artist, and going to get an HIV test as a season finale cliffhanger.
I remember that. Yes, that was that's where we learned about the dangers once again of unprotected sex and people having a.
I'll put it this way:
HIV positive.
I was told about the dangers by that episode, but I didn't learn anything.
You continue to have unprotected sex.
Absolutely. It was the mid-90s. You had to do it. Faking an abortion to extort a married guy.
Yes.
Underrated. Yes. Forgotten.
Yes. $100,000. And Brandon later talks her into giving it back.
Yeah.
When he finds out, do go to Brandon.
Yep.
Okay.
Getting arrested for bookmaking out of the Peach Pit after dark.
Right.
And then remembering 5 years later that she killed her father.
One more that I will add.
Yeah.
Hiring her friend to steal money from the gang and then catching her and turning it in so that everyone likes Valerie.
Yeah.
And then
the friend was Ginger LaMonica.
Yeah, Ginger LaMonica. And then she comes back later and blackmails Valerie.
The winner...
sleeping with her stepdad. Come on.
Yeah. Sleeping with her stepdad. Not just the best Valerie moment, but maybe the best television moment of all time.
It's definitely up there. And you may forget, Bill. I'm sure you don't, but maybe our listeners do.
There's no way I'll forget.
That not only did she sleep with her stepdad, but she sleeps with him the night before... It's her mom's fiance, actually. Her wedding in Vegas. The night before he's to marry her mom. She sleeps with him.
You know what was great about that? And Valerie did this
Everything.
A couple times. Well, she's in bed after, and the guy's fleeing the scene, and Kelly sees her in the room, and Valerie's still naked under the sheets, and she does that the total slut move, just the slut with no shame, and oh my God, I just hate myself move, where they cross their arms and kind of lean forward and just complete shame.
Right.
Like they've just been used and abused, and it's just Tiffany Amber Thiessen just mastered it. Almost made me wonder, like, because supposedly she's really nice in real life. Was she a better actress than maybe we gave her credit for? Like, should she have been more successful?
She definitely should have been more successful.
Could she have been Jennifer Aniston?
You know what? I don't know if she could be Jennifer Aniston, but she should have been a bigger star, considering how iconic.
No question.
She was iconic in Saved by the Bell and 90210.
What guy didn't love Tiffany Amber Thiessen?
Oh my God, she was the hottest thing in the universe.
The greatest.
The hottest thing ever. Oh my! I mean, like I don't know if you know, most attractive female cast member was a category, but she's the winner.
It's a category. right. Biggest. This is another big one. The big ones are coming out. Biggest.
I'm excited.
Biggest leap of faith involving David Silver.
Oh my God!
Having a hit song that became a hit because of Payola.
Right.
Becoming a nighttime DJ.
By the way, Payola should have been one of the old plots. since the 50s. What are they doing, Payola? No one even knows what Payola is.
Becoming a nighttime advice DJ.
Right.
Out of nowhere, just because he was... No. I don't even know how it happened.
Oh, I believe this is how it happened. I believe he is... That whole plot... Donna is doing a fashion show, and David goes to become a DJ. You know, he's going to be the DJ of this fashion show. By the way, no one knows who Donna is, okay? Mm. But somehow people come to this fashion show, and a guy says to David, wow, there were some really great cuts in there, stuff I hadn't heard before. You know, right. We're looking for a DJ. So, I mean, the improbability of A, that a radio station program director would be at a fashion show, and then B, would recognize David, because being a club DJ, which is what essentially David was doing there, right? It's completely a different skill than being a radio DJ, where if you're a radio DJ on a station that plays music, you don't pick your own music anyway. There's a music director. It's all done that way. So it's a ridiculous plot the whole way. And then to get hired with no radio experience in LA, the second biggest market in America, impossible. There are people that have been doing radio 15, 20 years that can't get hired in LA.
Oh, we got to keep going.
Hang on. I'm not done. Okay. I'm still on my high horse with this one. And then I got all fired up about this particular episode. And then in addition to all that, so they hire him for a job he's not really trained to do, a job that he's shown no particular skill at. And they say, tell you what, we're going to let you do the show live from the Peach Pit after dark. We're going to actually build you a studio.
That's true. I didn't think of that.
They build him a studio, even though the radio station is there. So he does it from the Peach Pit after dark. And then, oh, by the way, he doesn't even play music. He becomes like this popular Howard Stern type. Talking about his sexual conquests.
More David Silver, biggest leaps of faith. Playing hip hop scratches with Willie the Cook's gangsta son.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you. Playing with Babyface, I have to assume, is on the list.
Getting called in to go on the Babyface concert and then being asked to join them on tour as the keyboard player.
Right.
Quitting crystal meth with no repercussions whatsoever.
Right.
Foiling the rape of his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Graduating high school in 3 years, underrated.
Yes. It was just like they clearly wanted him to be like the nerd with Scott Scanlon, and then they quickly realized when in creating the show, they're like, you know, that doesn't work. We just gotta sorry, Scott, you draw the short stick. You're done. We're gonna keep David with these guys and we've gotta get him.
I mean it was a double leap of faith because he was a freshman when the show started. And everybody else was a junior, but then they spent 3 years in high school. So there was a mysterious junior year that was repeated. And then David graduated in 3 years to join them, but he started out 2 years behind.
Right.
Whatever. Valerie not sleeping with him right away when they started dating. Biggest leap of faith, because she would have slept with anybody. Yeah. Come on. She's going to make somebody wait 2 weeks.
Stop it. Right. That's a good point. But I think that's more a Valerie leap of faith than a David leap of faith.
And then finally, never, not once, not ever. Hitting on his stepsister, Kelly Taylor.
He did before they got married.
Yeah, but once
she became Jackie and Mel got married.
There's not one time they're drunk. They kind of look at each other a little extra long. And maybe,
Kelly slept with, if you look at it, like Brandon Dillon, she lost her virginity. Or no, she took Steve's virginity.
She slept with every male character on the show except David.
Except David.
It should have given him a complex after
and Jesse.
A while. I think she did sleep with Nat once. The winner for me of this category, and it's a great one, is him being asked to join Babyface on his national tour.
That's the biggest leap of faith. I think anything involving his music career is the biggest leap of faith. Anything at all. Because remember, he also, with What's the band that he had?
Jasper's Law.
Jasper's Law. Remember that? And the record company wanted to sign him without Jasper.
Yeah.
You know that, like.
I enjoyed that.
Anything involving that Kari Wuhr wants to sleep with him. Anything involving David's music career is ridiculous. As much as I hate the whole DJ plot, and I think that's a huge leap of faith, the fact that Babyface would say, come on tour with me.
Right.
You know, I think I'm with you. That's the...
All right, we got to move on.
All right.
We got 20 minutes left here.
What are you talking about? We got plenty of time.
Well,
we might make this a three-parter.
Category. New category. This is a good one, too. Biggest leap of faith involving the Walsh House. Here are the nominees.
Yeah.
The Walsh is moving to Hong Kong, but not selling their house.
Well, they tried to, and then it fell into escrow.
And then they gave up.
And then they gave. And then they crashed it because they held a big party. Right.
Right. Steve Sanders living in the Walsh House last 2 years of college over living on campus. Right. Brandon living in the Walsh House for all 4 years of college instead of living on campus.
Right.
They had a porn movie shoot there.
Yes, they did.
Everyone's
that was a fun one-off episode, too, by the way.
I'm cheating the rules a little bit, but after Brandon finally left the show, and thank God he did, everyone somehow stayed at the Walsh House. There were no Walshes left in the house, but they all lived there somehow.
I think it was Steve, Gina was there.
Kelly Taylor, and then Matt, the lawyer,
was there. Yeah. Finally, Noah was still on the boat.
You mentioned it earlier, the goodbye party where they wrecked the house. It fell out of escrow, and then they somehow fixed the house back up in like the course of a Saturday afternoon.
Right.
And repainted it and did the furniture and all that stuff. My winner for this category.
I want to throw one more nominee in there.
Okay, go ahead.
Jim and Carol's 20th anniversary party where Andrea falls in love with the bartender, Jesse.
Oh.
That house is big enough to have this big, huge party. In the back, complete with a bar and everything like that.
That's true. The backyard did seem to shift in shape.
Right.
They could have parties there, but then other times they barely had enough room to play basketball. And then all of a sudden they'd have, 100 people could fit back.
And the fact that the house existed at least as far back as the 60s.
Yeah.
It didn't look like an old house. And yet it had to have been there in the 60s because Brenda gets the diary from the woman that used to live there, the girl that used to live there. She finds in the cupboards.
That's a good point. I didn't even think of that. I'm going to give this this award goes to everyone staying at the Walsh House with no Walshes in it. At that point, just don't have the show anymore. You can't. You just have to stop having the show.
It literally is Valerie's family at that point. it's after MASH. Come on.
All right. And then finally, biggest leap of faith not involving David Silver or the Walsh House.
Okay.
Here are the nominees. Valerie stretching $50,000 into Peach Pit After Dark ownership, a new car, and a fancy hotel suite setup.
Right.
And new clothes.
Living there.
Yeah. Brenda never coming back ever. Not even for holidays. She just moves to England. She's never seen again.
Right.
Weddings, I can't come back for
that.
Christmas, come back.
Yeah. They let Andre come back. I think Carol came back.
Right. The mafiosa princess, Antonia Marchette, had no friends of her own at the wedding. And then at the funeral... No friends either.
Right.
She just had no friends.
Right.
Where were her friends? They had to throw her a bachelorette party. These girls that she had known for like a week. Those were the ones who threw her the bachelorette party.
And by the way, that was a recurring theme. Remember Nat's wedding
That's another nominee.
Okay, good.
Nat's wife, who was at least, 55, 60? She got pregnant.
Right. I forgot about that. That's right.
She's 10 years older than Beverly D'Angelo when she got pregnant with Al Pacino's twins. She was at least 55.
That's right. And they have the ceremony in the hospital. Like, she doesn't want to have the baby unmarried, so they're saying I do. But at the
grandmother,
her water breaks at the ceremony, I think. The fact is, Nat has no adult friends.
Not one.
Brandon's his best man.
Just the bookie.
I guess that's a business associate because I don't think Duke showed up at the...
No, he didn't.
At the wedding.
Hold on, a couple more. Nobody went to jail for Steve's rave fire, even though people were injured, a house got burned down, they were leasing. No jail time across the board. Everybody just got off. Brandon bought an engagement ring for Kelly during his sophomore year in college, which she rejected, and then he held onto it for another 2 years.
Yeah,
it had to have been like a $10,000 ring. You're not going to return that?
I buy that one a little bit.
Okay. And then the last two. Donna walking a fashion runway and Donna starring in a music video. I had to split them apart. I could have teamed them up, but
anything involving Donna. How about Donna? Hang on, I actually made a few notes here. How about Donna actually being good at picking stocks?
Oh, I forgot about that.
And Donna was good at picking stocks. I think Andrea was good at picking horses.
Oh yeah. Not a leap
of
faith.
And Andrea was good in Vegas as well.
Mm. What do we think for a winner?
Oh, and I'll have one last one here.
Yeah.
Brenda brings over a homeless man for Christmas, a homeless Santa Claus for Christmas. Right. And he turns out to be really nice, polite, brings presents for everyone.
Yep.
Not at all crazy.
Doesn't smell. total addition to the Christmas set. My winner for this has to be Valerie being able to buy all of those things with no more than 50 grand. It could not have been more than 50 grand.
See, I don't think that's the biggest leap of faith.
All right, fine. Donna walking a fashion runway.
Yeah,
fine.
I think that's it. I think it's anything involving Donna's beauty. Oh, and I'll add to that. We'll just do a triumvirate. A three-way tie between Donna walking a fashion runway, Donna starring in a music video, and Donna offering a modeling contract in Paris.
Oh.
Remember when her and Brenda go to France, she's actually offered a modeling contract and thinks about staying there.
Well, this really maybe should have been spun off. Let's spin Donna off in
right.
her own
the,
biggest
the,
leap
the most
of
ridiculous
faith.
Donna plot.
Okay, so that biggest leap of faith involving Donna...
Of those
I'm
three.
Typing for some reason as we're going here. Yeah. I'm going to give the fashion runway the winner for that.
Oh, because here's the problem. But I have another nominee, though.
Okay.
Donna becoming good on the radio two different times. And I think it's in high school, college. At two different times, people see her bickering with David and decide, oh, you guys would be a great team. And
good
put
point.
Them on the radio as like the overnight show.
Yeah, good point.
Or whatever. So... Donna having this magical ability, and then at one point, I think the college radio station, they give Donna the afternoon show and keep David on overnights, and he gets all upset.
Here's the great part about the fashion runway, and don't ask me why I specifically remember this, because I haven't seen this one in a while, but she's walking it, and I think she's dating Noah at that point, and he's watching, and somebody says to Noah, like, she looks beautiful, and Noah's like, yeah, she does, and he's like, really sells it, and then they cut to Donna, and she just looks like, you know, she looks like Donna. She's walking the runway, and it's a laugh out loud moment. It's great. All right. So then.
Yeah. Biggest, I'm with you. I'll give you that one. I think Donna on a fashion runway. Just because
so biggest of, leap of faith.
Big, not, because everyone else had to go along with it.
Biggest leap of faith not involving David Silver, Donna, or the Walsh House, then we're going to have to give to Nat's wife getting pregnant. Because she was like 65 years old. She was somewhere between 55 and 65.
How about a couple other ones though? Just a couple. We've already talked about this, but 5'7" Joe being a star quarterback.
Oh,
anything musically that doesn't involve David, like Ray Pruitt being big, being one to sign, being able to.
I believe that
Ray Pruitt decides to go out on tour despite the fact that he has no record label, no songs, and no one knows who he is. But he manages to go out on tour for an entire year.
A Ray Pruitt tour.
Right. A Ray Pruitt tour. Brandon and Keats delivering somebody's baby in an elevator.
Oh,
in Palm Springs.
See, I bought that one.
Stop it. No. Colin being a good artist, I would nominate.
Oh, interesting.
How did we, by the way, forget this one for most sensationalistic as well? This should be in the Donna category, but Donna has a stalker.
Oh.
And he holds the TV station hostage. Do you remember that?
Yeah, didn't I? I thought I had that one for sensationalistic. Maybe it got accidentally deleted.
But by the way, I'm changing my vote for most unbelievable Donna plot, that she has a stalker.
All right, Donna having a stalker.
Right.
I'll add that.
Please.
So we'll give Nat's wife getting pregnant. Now, another big, big category. This is almost like a best actress. Most unrealistic Kelly tragedy.
Okay.
Here are the nominees. Burned in a fire, sexually harassed, ODs on diet pills, becomes a co-core. Date raped, nearly date raped again, shot and then got amnesia from being shot, raped, killed a rapist.
One more.
Yeah.
Is this tragedy or just unrealistic Kelly plot?
Tragedy.
Okay, Kelly, tragedy. You have co-core.
I hit everything.
Mm. The most unrealistic of all those, I think, is burned to the crisp and yet comes out with no visible scars at all.
Well, she had the marks for about 10 episodes. But the good thing about 90210 is you can be burned in a fire and it eventually is fine.
Yeah, I mean, considering the neglect of her father and all the pressure. Oh, don't forget eating disorder too, by the way.
I had the ODs on diet pills.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let me just quickly make the case for Shot and gets amnesia. She was shot in like the stomach area.
Right.
The lower chest or whatever. Yeah. And went into a coma and came out of it and had amnesia. Is that how you get amnesia? I always thought it was like a head injury.
Sure. Why not? If only Donna's dad, the doctor, were here, he could answer it for us. The renowned heart surgeon.
All right. So we both agree burned in a fire. Worst Donna plot.
Oh, God.
Tried to become a debutante.
Yeah.
Dated the QB with a bad heart.
Mm-hmm.
Saved Rocky the cancer dog. Abused by her boyfriend.
Abused by her boyfriend.
Nearly raped by her stalker and held hostage in a TV station.
Right. Also, saved a deer during the fires in the...
saved the deer during the LA fires.
Wanted to become in the Tournament of Roses or whatever. Whatever the ripoff of the Rose Bowl, member. And then and her mom's all against it. And then she finds the picture that her mom actually was in the court.
Right. Bowl princess. Okay. I think we're good with those. We're good with those eight. Okay. Who's your winner?
Most annoying plot?
No, worst Donna plot. Worst
Donna plot.
Worst. Most terrible.
I'm going to go off the board.
Okay.
I'm going to go off the board and say I think the worst Donna plot was Donna becomes a successful children's fashion designer when Hillary Swank's kid finger paints over her designs.
Ah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I think it's Hillary Swank's kid. I know it's a kid. Maybe it was Aaron. But I remember there's a kid that finger paints over her designs, and she turns them in the last second, not realizing, and they love it, and she becomes like basically the designer of Granimals or whatever it was.
All right. Well, we'll have co-winners for this because I just think the QB with the bad heart was just such a epic fail. He was a terrible actor. It was a dumb plot. She ended up basically, he's like, I'm going to move back to Pittsburgh. She's like, all right, I'll see you later, QB right. with the bad heart. Because you're not a QB anymore. I'm going to find somebody better.
Right.
Best guest appearance by someone who became a star later. It's an action-packed category.
Wow. Right. Sure.
Now, just to clarify, we're not giving this award to who became the biggest star later. We're giving it the best guest appearance. So
got it.
We're awarding it for the show.
Right.
And the people who are eligible are people who became stars later.
Fair enough. Got it.
Matthew Perry, Christina Aguilera, Ashley Tisdale, David Arquette, Eva Longoria, Jessica Alba, Ryan Seacrest, Daniel Day Kim, and Damon Honshu. However you say his name.
Wow, I forgot which one he played.
I don't even remember, but he's in there.
Right, well, you're not putting Hillary Swank in there?
No, because it wasn't a guest appearance. She was actually in the cast.
She was. By the way, I have three more, because I wrote down like kind of guest stars.
Okay.
Lucy Liu was in that show.
Oh.
Did an episode. Denise Richards.
Yes.
Was in the show as the daughter of somebody.
Yeah.
I forget who. I will say somebody you mentioned before.
Uh-huh.
And that's Vivica Fox.
Mmm. Funny that I had her and then forgot to put her in this category. My winner is David Arquette, and here's why.
As Diesel?
He was kind of the abusive rock band guy, and he ended up getting in a fight with Brandon. We got to see Brandon throw his fist a little bit. He knocked him out.
A little fisticuffs.
You don't mess with Brandon.
No. All five, it's funny, all
the, everyone on the show knew how to fight somehow. These kids from Beverly Hills, they all knew how to throw fists.
Yeah, it's unreal.
Nobody ever lost a fight. No 90210 cast member ever lost a fight. Best half sibling.
Wow.
The nominees: yep. Aaron, the baby, Steve's half brothers, Kelly's half sister Joy, Donna's half sister Gina. She found out it was the half sister. It happened after Brandon left, but we're counting it.
Right.
And then Dylan's half sister Erica.
I would say Erica only because she came back as a prostitute.
Hmm.
I'm gonna give her points for that. I'm surprised you didn't mention, I guess she's a full sister. I was going to say Sue Scanlon, Scott's sister. who's there for about an season.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know. But yeah, I say Erica. I say Erica, Dylan's half-sister, pseudo-half-sister, with a slightly ahead of Gina, Vanessa Marcel, the beautiful Vanessa Marcel.
I'm going to give you that one. I'm backing you on that because she had the ingenuity to write the note in the bathroom before she got pulled to Brazil.
Right.
All right, this is single greatest idea for a plot. A little different than best career arc because now just imagine you're in the writer's room and they're coming up with ideas and somebody says in a short sentence, comes up with an idea and everybody goes, oh, that's a great idea. So here are the nominees. Dylan's drinking again. Kelly Still's Dylan. Donna Martin can't graduate. Noah date rapes Valerie, but doesn't. Dylan falls for the daughter of the guy who killed his dad. Kelly becomes Kokor, and Brandon starts liking Kelly. Just ideas, just germinations in the writer's room that they all looked at each other and said, voila.
Dylan falls for the daughter of his father's killer.
Mm, okay.
Is pretty good. I mean, because that touches on everything. It touches on, it gives a Dylan romance. You know, Kelly's going to be involved because of some sort of triangle. Mm. All of his demons about the death of his father. And, yeah. You know, if I hear that the first time, I'm like, oh, you can certainly see all the permutations of that. And if it's a mobster, I'm sure there's drugs around, so there'll be other temptations.
Okay. I'm with you. Best David Silver song. Precious. Now, one reader said Precious and then put in parentheses the Serge Mankin remix, which I thought was really funny. Be My Love, which is on YouTube. Be My Love, be My Love.
Right.
Switch It Up. Keep It Together. The iconic Keep It Together, which is the Baby, It's You Girl, which I really enjoyed. I got excited when he sang it. It was so terrible. It was
my God.
And I actually really think he thought it was good. Yeah. Like, I think Brian Austin Green thought, you know what? This is going to be my crossover.
By the way, we're killing Brian Austin Green.
I love him. I don't mean to kill him. Yeah. I'm a fan.
Married to Megan Fox. Listen,
it's the greatest.
Laughing all the way to the bank.
Loved him. Finally, the Condex commercial jingle. That's the final nominee. The winner is obviously
that he wrote
it
for Valerie, right?
Yeah.
He originally. That's my favorite. I'm going with the jingle.
Over Keep It Together?
Yeah. But I will cede this one to you. I don't have strong opinions on David's music.
Single hottest performance by a character in a season. Here are the nominees. Kelly Taylor as a Kokor, season 6.
Right.
Brenda, season 4 last year when she'd kind of lost some weight and she got the boob job and just kind of looked frisky.
Right.
And easy. Valerie Malone, first season 5.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, that was her Dwight Gooden in 1985.
Right.
You just look back at it now and you go, wow, can you make the Hall of Fame off one season? Dylan's dead wife in season 6 and then Lucinda Nicholson in season 4. The winner, obviously, Valerie Malone.
No question about it. Although I would have thrown Vanessa Marcel's first season in there too.
Oh, I like how you think.
She's crazy hot.
All right. Well, I'm not going to throw her in because Brandon left. Best we have two more and then we're going to the 6 majors.
Okay.
Best character flaw. This category was suggested by Dan and St. Paul. I got to give him credit.
All right.
Best character flaw. Kelly's father issues, Brandon's gambling problem, Dylan's various addictions, David's musical ability, Donna's cleavage, or Steve's hairline.
I would also nominate Steve's need to take off his shirt.
Oh,
Steve's shirtlessness and his Corvette addiction.
Keeps wardrobe Corvette combo.
Okay. Right.
Who's your winner?
My winner is. This is a tough one.
It's a tough one.
I think it's Dylan, though.
I agree.
I think Dylan's
They got the most mileage out of Dylan's addictions.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on Kelly's father issues, though.
No, listen.
Because she certainly didn't. and then finally, best death scene.
Oh, wow.
What's amazing is there's 5 nominees for this.
Okay.
And all of them are, like, as I rattle these off, you're going to go, wow, whoa. Josh Richland's car accident.
Right. I was surprised, by the way, that we didn't bring him up either. The newspaper guy that was investigating Brandon and was running against him for the student government.
Could he be a best recurring character that didn't make the opening credits?
Yeah, I think he can. I think he should have been a nominee there.
All right, now I have to go back down. Josh Richland's car accident. Dick ODs on coke, which leads to the one of my favorite moments in the history of the show when either Ian Ziering or Brandon says they're driving by and there's people have the little setup for what are you memorial set up outside the Peach Pit for
a vigil.
A vigil. They're having a vigil, and they're like, "What are those guys doing? What's everyone doing there?" And somebody says, "They're here for Dick." It's really funny. You got to see it. It's a great moment. It could just be spliced as a YouTube clip for 10 minutes and be funny. Dylan's wife gets gunned down.
Right.
Jack McKay's car blows up, and then Scott shoots himself. In my opinion, Jack McKay's car blowing up is the winner.
Really? Over Dylan's wife getting shot?
It's a tough one. I'm willing to talk it out.
They both involve Dylan. There's something... I'm going to say, boy, it's tough. I'll tell you this, because I would argue against Jack only because Jack shows up later and we know it was fake. But you're not counting those last 2 years, so.
Oh, no, yeah, now it gets into a, maybe we'll have to go on Dylan's wife then.
I mean, Dylan's wife is more tragic just because it was intended for Dylan.
Right.
Right.
I don't know. You swayed me because Jack coming back later kind of tainted it a little bit. It's almost like I mean, the steroid revelations about Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz. Didn't totally take the 2004 title for me, but did make me feel a little bit differently about it.
Because I'll tell you this. Visually, the car blowing up, obviously, is much better than the car in the rain and the shot to Tony.
But, although that scene does have Brandon with... Right. Brandon Priestley really almost goes to that special place that only like De Niro, Pacino, and people on that level can
I mean, and I give it to the Dylan scene just because you got to see him reenacted in person.
Right. Which I told that story last time, but I'll tell it again. When Luke Perry was on Jimmy Kimmel Live and was a great guy, he was like drinking in the green room after, which a lot of the celebrities didn't do. And me and Tony Barbieri, one of the writers, we got him to actually reenact sinking to his knees when Jack McKay's car blew up. A highlight for me on Jimmy Kimmel Show. Yeah. All right. Now we are going to the major nominees. But before we do, Some true facts.
So wait, where do we decide? So I mean, I'm going back and forth. Are you with me on Tony Marchetta or Jack McKay? I can go either way on this one.
I'm gonna say Jack McKay, and here's why. More people viewing, more iconic,
more shocking because they had finally come together.
And by the time Dylan's wife got gunned down, you could see it coming. But the Jack McKay thing was like, oh no, did that car really blow up? Like,
That's true. Because you knew the hit was out on Dylan and you knew something bad was happening. You knew they weren't getting rid of Dylan. So I'm with you. The car was more shocking.
All right. Some quick facts before we get to the majors.
Okay.
We mentioned this earlier, but worth mentioning again. Gabriel Carteris, 29 when the show started and then spent 3 years in high school. And now is 50 years old.
Yeah.
Mentioned this before earlier. They were juniors in season one, but took 3 years to graduate. This is a good one. The kid who played Scott Scanlon, killed himself, never acted again.
Wow.
That was his walk-off homer.
Right, exactly. It's like,
it was Ted Williams hitting the last one in 1960 and just walks off the field. Guess who turned down the Valerie Malone part before it was given to Tiffany Amber Thiessen? Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano, wow.
Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, that'd have been brutal.
And Drew Barrymore.
I could see that.
Thank God it worked out the way it did, I gotta say.
Of course. I could see, but Alyssa Milano, you know, she's great, and later was on Melrose Place. And then Drew Barrymore, could totally see that too. But Tiffany, the combination of the acting and the looks.
Thank God.
Home run. Thank God.
And then finally, I mentioned the 21 million people per episode in season four, which is just astounding. And then there was a few years there where they filmed 32 episode seasons.
Oh, it was crazy. They kept
32 going. Episodes.
This show was such, people don't remember, I don't think, but this show was such a phenomenon. I mean, think about what, like The Hills at its peak. And that's what it was like. I mean,
The Hills at its peak, by the way, 5 million. Jersey Shore, 5.5 million. So four times as many people watch 90210 as Jersey Shore this
year. Yeah, it's a little different because now you've got you've got video on demand. Now you've got, you know, MTV reruns the heck out of all those shows. So it's like, it's a little bit different because you knew, like, basically if you didn't see 90210 then or videotape it, you weren't going to see it. But nonetheless, I mean, it was just like they were on the cover of every magazine. They were huge, huge stars. They were in all the tabloids. Like, it was insane.
Finally, the majors.
Okay.
I thought there were six, but there's actually only five. Best dramatic moment. The nominees. Dylan when his dad's car blows up.
Right.
Dylan and Brandon together. Joint effort when Dylan's wife gets gunned down. Underrated. Brenda in the park when Kelly and Dylan tells her that they are now together. I thought Shannon Doherty went to that place.
Hmm.
That Meryl Streep type level
Okay.
Just fantastic. Brandon and Dylan, right before the intervention episode when Dylan's just starting to use drugs and Brandon comes over and they get in the fight. You sure you want to do this? I'm the only friend you got. And Dylan says, "May the bridges I burn light the way." Classic.
Yeah.
Earlier that same season, second episode, when Dylan doesn't know yet that Kelly and Brandon are together and he's mean to Jim Walsh, Nat follows him out to the car and he's like, "What's the matter with you? What's going on with you? Show me some trust!" Just screams at him. It's like Joey Tata's greatest moment. Dylan and Brandon, when Dylan leaves the show.
Right.
After his wife dies, he's on the motorcycle. Fade away to Brandon sadly looking along as Dylan drives away. And then finally, the 2,750 times when Brandon asks somebody, "You okay?"
All those. I'm surprised. A couple of omissions here that I'm surprised didn't make the cut.
I'm willing to accept a couple nominees.
Well, I mean, the most obvious one, of course, "I Choose Me."
Okay.
I think Kelly recognizing that before she pulls out the gun to shoot him, but in the store when her rapist comes in.
It's invalidated because Brandon was off the show. I can't include it. These are the majors. We can't include a post-Brandon moment in the majors.
It's outrageous.
Sorry.
All right. Well, how about...
Oh, and then I forgot to mention one. Somehow, Ray Pruitt throwing down and down the stairs.
Of course.
Yeah.
Dylan almost shooting Brandon when he comes over to his house.
It's an honorable mention. I can't give it. This is a big category. It's got to be the big ones.
The intervention, I would think. The whole cast.
It worked the whole cast, and actually, I thought Ian Ziering had some nice moments.
Yeah.
Who do you have for a winner? Best dramatic moment.
I think it's Dylan's dad dying.
Oh.
The pain, the knees on the ground. What do you think? I could be swayed on any of these. It's a tough category.
I got to go with "May the bridges I burn light the way," because it's a quote that I like to use in my real life.
Fair enough. Done. Sold. Winner.
This is a big category here.
Okay.
I'm almost afraid to even say it. Lifetime achievement. You know how they hand out the lifetime achievement in the Oscars? Lifetime achievement for unintentional comedy. The nominees. Ian Ziering's hair and clothes.
Right. Yes.
Brian Austin Green's singing.
Yes.
Tori Spelling's cleavage.
Yes.
The last 2 years of Gabrielle Carteris' run when she legitimately looked older than Mrs. Walsh.
Right.
Every Girl We Knew's reaction to every single Tori Spelling scene.
Right.
Or her name being brought up. And then finally, the cast turnarounds in the opening credits starting with season four. In the opening credits, when they would turn around,
right.
And Ian Ziering in particular would have that kind of weird look, and then it would finally end with James Eckhouse with his arms crossed with the "I'm Jim Walsh." That look. Those are our nominees. If you want to add anything, do it now.
Got a couple.
Okay.
Brenda's French accent.
Oh, I like it.
When Brenda had to pretend she meets Dean Cain in Paris.
Great addition.
Right.
Proud of you.
So it's so terrible, and everyone pretends that Brenda actually has a good French accent. And
right.
and Steve Sanders' continued use of the word bro. I think one's pretty good too. Just I feel like the only person in America that should ever be allowed to use the word bro is Steve Sanders without a shirt on, standing next to his Corvette. That's it. No one else.
Who's your winner?
Unintentional comedy's got to be David singing, I think.
I agree.
I mean, it's just because music changes, and sometimes it's timeless and sometimes it isn't. And there's music that's like of that era, like that you can be like, okay, I understand why that was a hit in the 80s sort of thing. But it was bad then.
It was the combo of not just how bad the singing itself was, but the fact that at some point the producers and writers decided, I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch, but the audience, they'll buy this, right? And then, they'll buy this.
And don't forget, there was a point where he tried to actually do hip hop too.
Yes.
Remember, he wanted to do hip hop and the record producer wouldn't let him or something like that. So one of the many times he got fired from, by the way, that's the other thing. I have friends in the music industry. And it's like, if you get a record deal and your record doesn't sell tons, that's it. Like, you don't get another shot. And how many shots did David Silver get? How many record contracts? Like, 3, 4? Like, good God.
All right. David wins. The nominees for single best line. I loved you more than ever. Loved you more than I ever thought I could love anybody. Maybe that was the problem. That was Dylan to Brenda.
Right.
This is so underrated. So I'll give you the setup here. Dylan's mobster wife has everybody over the house because she wants to meet the friends.
Right. And she has none of her own.
She's none of her own. So she invites all of Dylan's friends and they're all waiting and Ray's not there yet. And they're like, where's Ray? And Donna says, he's caught in traffic. So Steve Sanders goes, that's what you get for dating someone from Reseda. It's just great. He just assassinates him. It's the best Steve Sanders moment ever.
Oh God.
Dylan, when he finds out Brandon and Keller are together and he crashes the debutante party and he goes, my best friend, my best girl, it's like a bad movie. What is this, Blondie and the Boy Scout?
Okay.
Good one. When Brandon explains why him and Kelly are not going to get married after they have the wedding and they call it off.
Right.
He says, Kelly and I don't swing from chandeliers. We walk under them. Which I thought was kind of poignant.
Yeah, very nice. Yes.
When Dylan's drinking again and Brandon comes over and he's staring at Dylan's beer in disgust and Dylan goes, you want a beer? You want to quit staring at mine then? Isn't that? I Choose Me, which we talked about.
Of course.
May the bridges I burn light the way, we talked about. Right. And then finally, Donna Martin graduates. The three words that arguably the most three iconic words of the series.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's either Donna Martin graduates or I Choose Me. To me, those are the two set. When you think of Beverly Hills 90210, like those are the first two phrases that come to mind.
I gotta go with I Choose Me.
Yeah. I'm fine with
that. Only it's still funny to throw in the columns and stuff, although now I'm retiring.
All right.
Okay. Now
I'm not retiring, by the way. I have no problem continuing to use it. I'll use it until 60.
Torch.
There you go.
All right, the three biggies of the majors. Best character. The nominees. Dylan, Brandon, Valerie, Kelly, David, and Steve.
God.
Best character. Listen, the MVP. Basically, this is the MVP of the show.
To me, it boils down. Well, there's four. I'll tell you, I think there's four.
I thought you were going to say it boils down to Brandon and Dylan, and now you have to make a choice like Kelly Taylor did.
Well, that's two of the four. I would argue Valerie, but it's hard to give her the MVP. Like, it's sort of like a pitcher that blows out their arm, like, oh, what could have been?
Shorter career. Yeah, much like a Bill Walton.
Right,
we'll
exactly.
always wonder what would have happened if she'd been there the whole time.
Exactly. That's like, I knew you'd come up with a reference. I couldn't figure out who the player was. You're right, Bill Walton. It's absolutely. It's just like, what could have been if she
might have been better than Bill Walton. Might want to give her like, who's a baseball player? Like maybe like a Don Mattingly.
Roberto Clemente.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Just like, if they'd cast her earlier, if she'd stayed longer. I think the Walton actually is the right, because it was his prime. He just couldn't. It was too short a period of time.
Okay.
Or Roberto Clemente, same sort of thing.
Okay.
So you've got Valerie. I will tell you that I think Steve Sanders is hilarious. I'm with you. Like, from the Wakefield comparison. You never wanted to center anything like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, just such a goofball and so stupid and so many ridiculous plots that I enjoyed that had Steve in them. But I think it comes down to, I do think you're right. I think it comes down, I don't think Kelly's in there. Kelly's just sort of a, you know, whatever. I think it comes down to a Brandon, where every story centered around him. He was the soul of the show.
Yeah.
And Dylan.
Well, here's the thing. You're going to love this.
Who's the sex? Yeah.
This is basically the Bird Magic argument all over again. They're dead even, but here's the difference.
You managed to bring it into basketball. Look at Joe Meade, so proud of you.
Well, Magic had three more years than Bird.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Bird had 9 prime years and Magic had 12. And yeah, they were equals, but if you're just picking somebody for a career, you got to go with Magic. And I made this case in my book because Magic had the 3 extra years. And in this case, Dylan left. He left in season 6. Brandon stayed those first 8 years. The show, he managed to keep the show going without Dylan. Dylan can't win MVP because the show is good without him.
Although Dylan came back and...
and it sucked.
Yeah,
he couldn't sustain the show. That helps the Brandon argument. I think it's Brandon.
I think you're right. I Dylan, I enjoyed the most.
Yeah.
But I think your argument's right. You take it's the MVP argument, which is right. It's like you take that guy off the team. You took Dylan off the team, the show still worked.
Dylan had the highest ceiling.
Yeah.
All right, last 2 categories. And I gotta say, this next one is my single favorite one of the whole 2-part podcast, which is now 5 hours long.
I think we should do a 3rd part because there's so many things we haven't discussed.
Now, we got to wrap it up. We went two, this is good. This will be 2 good parts. Best plot that never happened but should have.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
I love this category. The nominees, David and Kelly start hooking up. Stepsister, stepbrother. Forbidden, but it's not really incest, so
no,
it's okay.
Of course, right.
The parents rebel. How does that plot not happen?
Exactly.
They were doing 32 episodes a year. These two couldn't have made out a couple times?
Right. Awkwardly, like some costume party, like, and they don't know it's each other.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
They got it's dark or there's like some power outage. They can't see each other.
Exactly.
Kelly just is in heat. She needs to have sex.
Come on. Of course.
All right. This is the best category of this whole podcast. Number 2 nominee, Jim Walsh starts hooking up with Valerie Malone. In the Walsh house.
Pick a parent, by the way. That works with Rush Sanders. That works with Mel.
No, but it feels the most wrong in the Walsh house.
That is true. With the Eck. That's what I call Eck house.
Eck. It would have been a nice way to keep the Eck around.
Yeah.
Had you had the little adultery plot.
Yeah, James.
The 3rd nominee. So they graduate college. Now, One Tree Hill did this about 10 years later, where they just fast-forwarded the cast 5 years because the cast started looking too old.
Right.
Imagine they graduate from college, and now we fast-forward 6 years, and everybody's in their late 20s, and they all, Brandon now has his job, and instead of having that struggling, now all the cast kind of looks the age they should look. I think that keeps the show going another 6 years.
Yeah, probably.
Nominee number 4, Ray Pruitt kills Donna and a waiter from Brentwood.
And then is acquitted.
But then later is finally thrown in jail for a scam where he was selling his old guitars. Nominee number 5. Yeah. Andrea gets hit by a hit and run driver, which happened, but she dies. We never see her again. She's done. She's out. I think they should have killed her off right then and there.
Okay.
When Dylan's dad blew up,
mm-hmm.
instead of it being the mafia killed him, Brenda, Brandon's sister, she did it. And Brandon finds out, and then he can't decide whether he should turn her in or not. It would have been a great plot.
No.
And then finally, this is my favorite, and this is my favorite idea.
Wait, can I do a twist on that?
Oh,
instead
sure.
of Brenda doing it because she's lovelorn, which I think would not redeem the character, right?
Right.
I think how about Valerie does it and assumes that...
She wasn't there yet, though.
She wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Then... Brenda convinces someone else to do it. Oh, no, here you go. Here's
Brenda
the plot.
Brenda pays somebody
to do
it.
Here's the plot. Dylan is trying to protect his dad. Dylan overhears something and thinks this car is the guy that's going to kill his dad or something like that.
Yeah.
Dylan sets it up so as to kill somebody else, right? You know, to kill the guy that's going to kill his dad.
And kills his own dad.
And kills his own dad. Sign of what happens with Tony Marchette.
Right.
Later. But so,
reverse.
If Dylan orchestrated his own father's death, oh, the torture.
Last plot that should have happened but didn't. My favorite idea, and I will never forgive the writers for not doing this. Deshaun Hardell being the one who took down his virginity.
At the debutante ball.
They would have gotten a whole season out of that. She slips up one night. She loses it to the star of the basketball team.
Oh, my God.
Her mother like just has a freaking heart attack. She finds out. Maybe you pull in a 90s wrinkle. There's a sex tape.
Yeah. And maybe, or she's pregnant.
Oh, she gets pregnant.
She gets pregnant from it.
But then she sleeps with David 2 weeks after because she feels bad. She doesn't know who the kid is.
Right.
Is it Deshaun's? Is it David? I just think if Deshaun Hardell had slept with Donna Martin, that's a whole season of shows. Especially in 92 when the interracial thing was a lot crazier back then.
So taboo.
I think that's the winner.
I'm with you. I'll give you one other one that I wrote down while you were talking, but I don't think it beats that. But plot that we should have seen, and how did they not do this? Valerie becomes Heidi Fleiss and runs a prostitution ring out of the Peach Pit after dark.
Oh, my God. Why didn't they do that? That would have ripped off a real life.
Hires a bunch of like hot little waitresses for the Peach Pit after dark. And
you know why they didn't do that? Because Melrose Place did it.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's
last right. category.
But it was perfect for Valerie.
That was a great category. Joe Mead.
Yeah.
Joe Mead?
Yeah.
Did you watch 90210?
I think I was a little too young for it. I was the oldest child, and I'm 27. So.
Yeah, okay. Last category. Most meaningful legacy. The nominees. Sideburns. The love triangle. Which, you know, it created.
Right.
The word bro, which now when you hear it on Jersey Shore all the time, I really think Brandon and Steve created the word bro or made it fashionable. And now it's you hear it all the time and people sound like idiots. But drugs are bad and you'll get hooked on them immediately. That was a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Give up your virginity to your boyfriend or else someone else will have sex with him and steal him.
All right. Don't drink. Important lesson for kids to learn.
Don't drink and drive.
Right.
And if you stumbled into money, you will always handle it poorly. Do you have any additions?
Yeah. I will say the use of... the liberal use of music in a show, using a television show as a way to launch a music career. You know what I mean? Like, cause they had those 90210 soundtracks a lot and like a lot of up and coming bands. I mean, we joked about it, like at the Peach Pit After Dark and stuff like that, but a lot of kind of hip and up and coming bands. And for my money, that's the first show. I mean, MTV was popular obviously, but that's the first scripted show.
Right.
That I remembered like trying to like break new acts and like make a business of that. So I think there's something interesting there.
The OC took that and ran with it and did a really nice job with it.
And I'll say, and by the way, the teenage drama. That's to me the teen, good looking teens with problems. From The Hills to One Tree Hill to The OC to the new 90210 to, I mean, there's just been a million permutations of that. And for my money, that was the first one of them. That was it was in prime time. It was the first one where it was like good looking kids with problems.
So is that your winner?
To me, that's the winner. I mean, it spawned a whole genre of television.
My winner is that if you don't give up your virginity to your boyfriend, someone else will and you'll lose him. Because that was the enduring lesson of the Donna Martin character is that she couldn't keep her guys happy. They always had to stray.
That's true.
And
it happened with Ray.
Lesson.
Happened with Joe. Happened with David.
I feel like Donna Martin paved the way for all the debauchery that began with Britney Spears in the late 90s and now and the Woman Acts Like Sluts era. It all started because those little girls watched Donna Martin repeatedly lose guys because she wouldn't sleep with them and said, when I grow up, that's not going to happen to me.
No, I am. And now everybody throws it around.
And now everybody throws it around.
Yeah.
But I think all those are good. The use of the word bro, I think, has been very underrated.
No question about that. There's no question about that. That's very underrated. I have one random thing that I just wanted to sort of bring up, and I know it's wrong on a bunch of levels because it's very anticlimactic, and it also happens after. But I'll ask you this: the last episode, the very last episode. Worst part of the last episode or most ridiculous part of the last episode, the very last episode. I have a nominee and what I think is the winner, but
okay.
I'd like to hear if you had what anything in that last episode.
In the very, very last episode?
The very
episode?
Last episode, yep.
I mean, they brought, didn't Brandon come back or did he film something?
He filmed something. He did a videotape.
All right, I don't know. What's your, I haven't seen that last episode enough times to have an opinion.
It's the most insane thing and this goes under the category of Nat has no adult friends at his wedding.
Mm.
So Donna is getting married to David.
Yeah.
And it's her bachelorette party. They decide to have the bachelorette party at the beach house. That's right. Insane thing, number one.
Yeah.
They don't go to a club. They don't go to Vegas. Secondly, so Brenda doesn't come back, but Valerie, who none of them liked, shows up. And so it's, I think Andrea shows up, or Andrea, whatever.
You've now pronounced her name three different ways, which I've
Andrea,
enjoyed.
Sorry. I know someone in real life named Andrea, and I'm always used to saying it, but it's Andrea, right? And Zuckerman. I'll just call her Zuckerman.
Okay.
But so it's whatever. It's Kelly, it's Donna, it's Valerie. And then, but, you know, like no Claire, no, no Brenda. But you know who they do bring back? Mrs. Teasley. Mrs. Teasley is at the bachelorette party. What? You brought your high school guidance counselor or vice principal?
Who tried to kick you out of school.
Right. Who wouldn't let you graduate. And by the way, the best part is they call her in the scene. They call her Mrs. Teasley. Like, you know, it's like, okay, we're friends. We're being social. But it's like, and they're like playing some sort of dirty version of Pin the Tail on the Donkey. And it's like, oh, go for it, Mrs. T. It's so awkward. It's like clearly they're like, oh, this is the saddest bachelor party either. All right, what female cast members can we get to come back? Brenda says no. Vanessa Marcel says no. Claire says no. What about Mrs. Teasley? Sure. I mean, it makes no sense at all. It's like the worst. Wait, what?
They were so afraid to have outside friends come in.
Yeah.
Because they did the same thing when Dylan's dead wife. We got to wrap this up.
Yeah. It's too bad. I could talk about this for another hour and a half.
Well, on that note, I'm retiring 90210 references from my column. I might still let them seep out in the podcast, but this was a magical 2 hours.
Yeah. Do you feel like the bridges you burned now are lighting the way, Bill?
I feel like this might have been the longest 2 hours of Joe Mead's life. Whatever. Matthew Berry, plug something really quick.
Fantasy football for free on ESPN.com. Follow me on Twitter, Matthew Berry TMR.
Thank you for being the Dylan to my Brandon on this podcast. A pleasure. Talk to you during football season.
Thanks, dude.
Target the sun off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNradio.com.
Peace out.